This is Shiki Mori, and you're listening to the Tanglecast. And, I'm not just a cutie, by the way.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is episode 21 of the new Tanglecast, the official podcast of Beneath the Tangles. I'm Tyler, also known as Kibikaze, and I'm joined here by my fabulous co-host, Paris of Paris Cosplay.
Hello.
Erin of Athelrin Cosplay.
Ara ara.
And Mike of Mike's Geek World.
Are you looking for some cheap entertainment for your next social function? Hire the newest pop idol sensation, Franchouchou. From pop to rock, rap to metal, these girls will leave you saying, how do they headbang like that? It's like their necks are broken. Whether it's a fundraiser, bar mitzvah, or flea market, Franchouchou is the group for you. One for zombies, all for zombies. Disclaimer, Franchouchou Inc. is not responsible for injuries inflicted by the idols biting you.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. What an intro.
I know. Which is a perfect segue into our topic for today. Zombies. But before we dive into our discussion, we just want to share real quick our results from our previous cast questions from episode 19. How often do you get severe anxiety in social settings? On Instagram, you guys voted 32% of you said frequently, 40% said occasionally or only in certain situations, 26% said rarely, and 2% said never. I think that's a pretty healthy, authentic poll. What do you guys think?
I want to be that 2%.
Oh, yeah.
Very realistic that
I think so.
It's a smaller percentage that doesn't deal with it.
Yeah. I think Paris definitely has some insight on that. Paris, what is your mental health hot take on that today? Does that look about
Let's
right?
Let's see. 32%, 40%. I think that does look right. I would say yes.
Okay, very good. Our in-house mental health professional.
Expert.
Yes. But without further ado, we're talking all about zombies today with the release of Zom 100, the new series. I think we're on episode 3 or 4 this week. But before we talk about our discussion, what is your guys' favorite zombie media or zombie media that you guys like?
In my case, of course, I grew up on a lot of the classics like the Romero movies and such. But even in the world of anime, we got some good ones, like what has become one of my favorites. Zombieland Saga. Not related to the movie Zombieland. This basically combines zombies with pop idols.
Okay.
And it is hilarious. I've actually even cosplayed as the producer of the group from the show. And of course, that's actually where the Franchouchou reference I made earlier came from, since Franchouchou is the name of the group that the girls in Zombieland Saga form. And I highly recommend it. It's hilarious. It's mostly family friendly. I mean, obviously zombies, it gets a little bit dark, but it's one of the cleaner shows out there.
All right. I actually used to love zombie movies. I've seen a lot of them. I've always liked the trope of like the zombies aren't the monsters. The humans are the monsters. Especially you see that theme in The Walking Dead too.
Yeah.
That it's like, yeah, the zombies are scary, but man is scarier under this type of pressure. I think that's a really deep message. I also really liked Zombieland, the actual like movie, the big, you know, cinema movie. I thought it was really funny. And I also really liked Train to Busan, the Korean zombie movie was really good.
And
it's on that one's on Netflix. And I liked that one because the zombies are terrifying. They're like sprinting at you. And that movie also made me cry, like, sob. So, really good. Love the zombie movies.
Nice. Erin, what about you?
I actually actively speak out against zombie media. I hate it, to be really frank. I know. I'm in the minority here, but I really hate zombie stuff, mostly because I feel like it's extremely cliche. And I'm like, give me something new. Give me something that's like, I don't know, requires you to think. I don't know. It typically to me just seems kind of flat. But for the sake of answering the question, I did really enjoy The Last of Us. I thought the way that as far as how the, I guess, the illness works, I really liked how it was like founded in actual science and like you can look this stuff up and like cordyceps and is actually real. And like the thought of that actually being possible is kind of terrifying. So I really, the only one that I like is Last of Us.
Okay.
But yeah, I gave Zom 100 a chance and I did enjoy these episodes.
Same. I definitely relate more to you, Aaron, like, because I consume so much zombie content, like when I was a kid or a teen. Now it's a bit, you know, I see it's more overused these days, especially with the whole genre so saturated. But
it is.
We're definitely Walking Dead up until like season 3. After that, I just fell off because, I don't know, it got repetitive or whatnot, at least to me.
Yeah. I think it's hard for zombie media to not feel repetitive. And to be fair, I'm coming at zombie media from like a gamer perspective.
Oh, I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I feel like it's much more difficult to land something original and thought-provoking and like all the things that I prefer in media and it be zombie related. But I think Last of Us does a really good job.
As a kid, Left 4 Dead 2 was my jam. Left 4 Dead 2, that was my jam, and now I play it on Steam. So but for non-visual media, World War Z the book was actually pretty good, if you guys have never read it. The actual novel was pretty cool. I remember reading it back in high school for accelerated reader points, if you guys had that in high school.
I don't think we did, but I was in like the AP program, but we just had like assigned readings and we didn't get extra points for reading anything.
We had like 100 points to read and we could choose any book we wanted, that kind of stuff. And so every book had like from 5 points to like 20 points, depending on how thick it was and stuff. So
yeah.
But with that, Brother Mike, take us into the world of zombies.
In this world, bad things can happen. One very telling thing, though, is how you handle it. Now, Akira Tendo, our disillusioned protagonist from Zom 100, faces a zombie apocalypse in a few different ways. Initially, he's just thrilled to be free from his nightmare of a job. And speaking of which, I always find it weird how a lot of shows bring up just the dangers and the unhealthiness of the Japanese work culture. Yet nothing is ever done to change it. Not that we're all that different in America, but it's just something I always take note of. Anyway, Akira then gets something of a defeatist, you only live once attitude. He decides that since he's going to eventually become a zombie anyway, he might as well just do all the things he'd always wanted to do. Spend all day drinking beer, riding around on a motorcycle, confessing his love to the woman of his dreams, all that kind of thing. Then we have Shizuka Mikazuki. Now, when the apocalypse hits for her, she starts planning how to survive. She researches zombie movies, gathers essential items, and just tries to plan out how she can survive everything that's happening. And we see that a lot in this day and age. Some people believe that life could end at any time, so look out for number one and just do whatever you want to do, no matter how unhealthy it can be for you or anyone else. They believe that there's nothing beyond this life, so just live it up. Then, there are people who believe the same thing about there being nothing more, but instead want to make the most of their time on Earth, being a positive influence and helping others. Personally, my thought process is that we know there is much more beyond this, but we don't know how much time we have on Earth. Matthew 24:42 says, "So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming." Because of this, we have to make the most of every day we have. When we stand before God, He's going to look at what we did in our life. And while our works aren't going to determine our salvation, it can determine the spiritual gifts we're going to receive. And more importantly, it can have some to do with the salvation of others. Romans 10:14 says, "How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" We need to take advantage of the time we have, however long or short that might be, in order to lead as many people as possible to God. We don't have time to waste with playing around, you know, things that aren't important. And it's not to say we can't have time to enjoy the things we enjoy, but we have to remember the most important thing we have, because we don't know how much time we have left, is we have to try to reach people. That's why I love platforms like this, platforms like my YouTube channel, different methods, because admittedly, while I'm trying to improve on it, when it comes to talking one-on-one with somebody, I'm not very good at it. I get tongue-tied. I worry about saying the wrong thing. So I love platforms like this, which give me the opportunity to try to reach more people mm-hmm. in whatever amount of time I have. And at that, I'm going to turn it over to Tyler.
So first, I love the concept of this anime very much. It sounds simple at first, but it's done so well. And before I get into my discussion, the coloring of the series, especially when there's scenes with lots of blood and they're replaced by like a color wheel, like a literal rainbow instead of bright red blood. It's so visually creative. I don't know if you guys felt the same or you saw the same.
Yes, but it was, it gave me some Danganronpa vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I see. I think it gave me, it was more reminiscent of like Demon Slayer's visual creation, at least to me, for a little bit during the monochrome scenes. But in the beginning of the series, when we're first introduced to Akira, my first thought was, this guy needs a Sabbath, like straight up. And it's so sad that there are some companies like this, mostly in Japan and Korea, obviously, where you, a lot of cases of people dropping dead in the street in Japan and Korea from overwork. Mm-hmm. And so Akira reminisces of his bright and youthful energy when he first started working. And I wonder if that's like a lot of us today. I can say the same for me. Mm. When the path that we chose got us to where we are, and it's a bit not what we expected to look like. So we look back at the past, we're like, did I do something wrong? I was so bright and bushy back then, and now I'm so old and cranky. And literally me saying this, I'm a 25-year-old. But Paris, I don't know if you notice this, but there's a bit of mental dullness when it came to Akira's character, at least in episode one, where he talks about his monochrome life, and his life didn't have color until the zombies came. A little depressing, but he began to see color, and like the trees were green and the sky was blue, and but also this bright red blood, and it zooms in on the blood. I'm like, okay, that's a little, you know, mental health right there. But yeah, but the scripture I chose is more of an encouraging reminder for us not to be like an Akira and actually get rest from work. And pretty much just says, it's from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is a house of God where the Holy Spirit lives? God gave you his Holy Spirit. Now you belong to God. You do not belong to yourselves. God bought you with a great price. So honor God with your body. You belong to him. And so for me, as I enter my 25th year here on earth, I need the reminder every single day whenever I'm doing schoolwork or my full-time job or anything else, or keeping up with my relationships, that every decision I make affects my physical health, which is a temple of the spirit. And these are decisions like not getting enough sleep or not eating healthy, and yes, not taking rest days, which I'm very guilty of because I'm such a workaholic. Like literally last week, your boy had to take a week off from everything because I got sick. So remember, if you don't rest, the Lord will send a zombie apocalypse so that you do. Paris, take it away.
That's so funny. All right. Thank you, guys. Those were some great points. So I wanted to start by comparing and contrasting the two bucket lists between Akira Tendo and Shizuka Mikazuki. So the end of episode one ends with the revealing of Akira's list, 100 things to do before becoming a zombie. So he's got this, like, he's free from work and he's like, yes, I have this bucket list. I want to do all the things that I didn't get to do while I was working. Shizuka's list is 100 things to avoid becoming a zombie. And that was the end of episode 2. So I loved that contrast, how it was like, okay, here's this guy's list and then here's her list, and how they're approaching the world very differently. At first, I was going to argue in favor of Akira's list, and I'll still give some of those points. But I actually see strengths in both of their lists. And I think finding a balance between the two and having a happy medium of both enjoying life and having control of the things that you want to achieve, but also, you know, you don't want to be stupid. You also want to have some level of caution. So I think having a balance between the two would be the best bet. Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow brings its own set of problems. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. And so I think with Akira's list, he is doing this. He's being very present. He's not worrying about tomorrow. He's just worried about today, which I think during a zombie apocalypse could be a really good thing, because you may follow this 100 things to avoid before becoming a zombie and then still ultimately become a zombie. And then you wasted that last bit of your life avoiding and being afraid. Whereas if Akira dies tomorrow, he died living his best life. Like, he's probably good with that. He's like, you know what? I enjoyed what I did and I got eaten, but like, I'm happy with what I left behind. And so I really believe that. Like, I would rather live a life of joy and not being paranoid and to die knowing I lived in my best life, even if I was wrong, or even if, you know, I was naive or ignorant. Like, if I died tomorrow, I would have left behind a lot of joy and a lot of great memories versus living a life of paranoia just to die anyways. I don't know. That's kind of dark, but I think you'll kind of see where I'm going with that. I'm reading The Mountain Is You by Brianna Weist, and it talks a lot about how we self-sabotage ourselves, and it gives a lot of awesome ways that we unconsciously self-sabotage and why. And she defines self-sabotaging as meeting needs in ways that we don't otherwise know how to meet in healthier ways. And so one thing she said to notice if you're self-sabotaging is you spend more time worrying, ruminating, and focusing on what you hope does not happen rather than you do imagining, strategizing, and planning for what you do. And I thought that was a really powerful quote. Is, are you spending more time worrying and ruminating over what you hope doesn't happen or what you wish happened? Or are you focusing on the things that you want to do and the things you want to enjoy? Are you imagining your dream and working toward it? So I thought that was a great contrast between the two lists as well. I also wanted to give a quick fun lesson about being overwhelmed. When we feel overwhelmed, it's when things outside of our control outweigh the things inside of our control. So We're feeling overwhelmed and powerless. And so you would think that the solution would be to lighten your load. But actually what they found is if you add things that you can control, it helps you feel less overwhelmed. So again, I like this 100 things to do before becoming a zombie, because he has literally no control over what is happening, but he's not feeling overwhelmed because he feels like everything is in his control. And he's added all these things that he would like to do that he does have control over. And I think we can all do that in our own lives. Is, are we feeling overwhelmed? Are we feeling helpless? Like, is everything out of our control? Okay, what do we have control over? And what can we focus on that we can control? Or what can we add that we enjoy or that we love or that we chose? Like, I chose this. Mm. And I think he chose these things on his list. And he's really excited about them. I know one of you brought up death by overwork. There's actually a name for it in Japan. So this problem is such an epidemic that there's literally a name for it. And that name is karoshi. And karoshi literally means death by overwork. So In Japan and Korea, you'll find workers sleeping on the streets. You'll find them sleeping on the buses, on transportation. And I found that 80 to 90% of Japanese workers work overtime or are expected to work overtime, according to multiple studies. So if you look at a bunch of different studies, that's about the average percentage that I was finding. And I'm talking, some of these people are working 80 hours. It's insane. I think the the average might even be like 60 hours,
wow,
which is insane. A lot of them drink to cope. So we see a lot of that in media, like the drinking to kind of cope with all that burnout and all that stress. I'm also watching a K-drama right now called Backstreet Rookie. It's really cute. I've got one episode left and I'm really sad that I'm about to watch the season finale and it's going to be over. But there's a scene where Choi's father in the show gets a job and he's so excited and he says, it's only 54 hours. And I looked at my husband and I was like, only 54 hours? What's the average if it's only 54 hours? Like, what? Like, I'm over here complaining about 40-hour work week. Like, are you kidding me? I would die. So it's incredible to see not only the expectation, but that's like just kind of accepted that like, oh, this is just the culture. And it's really sad. And it's sad that people are dying because of it. They're dying of like health. Stress has health consequences. Like you'll die from a heart attack. Some of them take their own lives.
Wow.
It's just really, really toxic. And they did try to make some changes to fix the issue. But I think all they really did was they put a maximum overtime at 100 hours. And I was like, how is that solving the problem? So hopefully they do something about this problem. I really like Dr. K from Healthy Gamer. He's on YouTube. I've probably watched all of his videos, but he had done an episode about productivity and stress. And he actually found that working more hours does not correlate with performance or progress. It actually has a negative impact on performance and progress. So that's kind of what stinks too, is they're working all of these hours, but their productivity is not even as good. It's actually harmful. And you'll see like higher turnover rate for workers in poor work conditions. And so really what's more productive is a limited amount of work that's like balanced. So if you stress too little, you'll get bored and you won't be productive. But if you stress too much, you'll be overwhelmed and you won't be productive. So you have to find that happy balance, a healthy dose of work. And one example that he gave was he said when he was in med school, because he's a psychiatrist, people were studying like 12 hours a day. And he was like, that's crazy. And they were burnout and they were miserable and they were like crying. And he was like studying 2 hours a day, first thing in the morning. And so he found that studying more also doesn't correlate with higher test scores, which the hustle culture kind of drives us towards. But finding a consistent schedule of intentional studying or intentional work will actually be more productive. So I thought that was really cool to learn that it, like, you're hurting yourself. It actually isn't helping you. So why are you doing it? You need to cut back. I personally value freedom and fun, and I would like to categorize myself as a pretty productive person. I have a lot of hats. And if you watch me or know me, you see that like I have a lot of fun and I value fun. I prioritize fun, self-care, self-development. And that does not deter or like decrease my productivity. And I think that speaks for itself. Like if you're trying too hard and you're exhausted and you're miserable, that's going to pull you back from your productivity. So happy, healthy, well-rested, and appropriately focused and challenged individuals have the most success. So how do we tackle this problem of burnout? Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. So we enter God's rest and we stay in tune with his direction for our lives. That means we go to him with our schedules. We take time for self-care. We depend on his strength to fulfill our duties. And remember that our identities don't come from the tasks that we accomplish, but from our relationship with Jesus. And burnout is not biblical. Hmm. And so that's my takeaway from this episode.
Wow. Thank you for sharing all that like data with us. I think that was very helpful, especially the 2 hours consistently thing. I think that actually can be applied in a lot of ways, not just studying, but I think like breaking up your tasks into short stints and doing them consistently is definitely better. I'm programmed naturally the opposite way, so I really struggle with the small, consistent effort thing. I like to sit down and do a task in its entirety. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard for me to do that, but I've been trying to work towards having like a daily schedule since I do cosplay full time. And so I've been trying to figure out a good schedule of like, I spend this much time on admin, then I do this much time on actual crafting, this much time on editing, this much time on et cetera. And I feel like I'd be more productive that way, but like it's like swimming upstream for me to try to like stop when I'm like in the middle of a task. It's really hard, but the studies show, as you told us.
I think if you have the drive, like you have to know your own body though. I think we all have a different capacity. So if you're not feeling burnt out and you're like enjoying sitting there for 6 hours, I think that's okay.
Fair. I think having the consistent schedule where I do a little of each thing all the time is probably best. And then having exceptions where like, oh, I have to make this costume in time for this thing. So maybe that adjusts for that timetable. Mm-hmm. I think being flexible is ideal, but I do think I would be better. I would be more productive, I think, if I did break up my day, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I'm just going to go play a game of League. And then it turns into like 3 games of League. So it's like, clearly I'm not being as productive as I could be. But to be honest, I have also been trying to teach myself a little bit about like resting, like Tyler said, like take a Sabbath. Because naturally I don't rest well. And so I've been trying to force myself to rest, but now I feel like I can't, I'm having a hard time feeling if I'm being not productive or if I am resting. But anyway, I digress. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Coming back to Zom 100, overall, I think for me, the overarching theme is that many people in this world face unfair working conditions and either don't have the time, energy, or resources to change that. And it really begs the question, is modern day working conditions worse than an apocalypse? Like, what would people rather endure? Because it's a living hell either way. I did work in corporate America for like 6 years, and I had to work a lot of overtime, and it was really stressful, and I was very burned out. So I can kind of sympathize. It wasn't as bad as Tendo's experience, but I think this is a very valid argument for everywhere, not just Japan and Korea, but I think that we see that corporate ladder grind pressure here in America as well. But thank the Lord that he has plans for us, like in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that future and that hope is Jesus. And if we can trust in him, he can make our path straight. It's sometimes the only thing that we can do in bad circumstances that we are trapped in. And this also, a lot of it, like when I was just sitting there, like absorbing these two episodes and thinking about them, they really reminded me of Job, because he lost everything, his land, his livestock, his family. And Job says, but I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will rise on the dust. And I think Tendo has a glass half full kind of mentality here, and that he believes he's able to live a better life than he was. And he has faith that things could be moving in a positive way for him, despite the mayhem outside. Obviously, I think his mental state before and after is concerning in both regards. I think it's very like extreme, but I think it's more, I think it's extreme on purpose to make a point. And then similarly to the last episode of the Tanglecast, I think Tendo is able to continue due to a perspective of gratitude and joy. Others would look at the world ending as the end, but he chooses to see it as a new opportunity to live. And he makes his bucket list and is making a vow to spend his remaining days doing the things he wants to, which brings to mind James 1:2-3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And I think contentment and choosing joy is key here. Instead of drowning in sorrow that the world is pretty much gone, he chooses to move forward boldly and live life to the fullest, and he perseveres. The first thing that he does, like when he realizes it's a zombie apocalypse, the first main thing he does is he goes to check on the coworker that he has a crush on, and she's a zombie. And he like takes a moment and seems a little sad, but like he immediately like continues, and he's been like crushing on this woman for like 3 years. And I think that says a lot about his mental state of just like moving on. And the series presents this attitude in an odd and silly way, but I think we could learn a lot from Tendo. And we should really be looking forward to the possibilities rather than waiting on the perfect opportunity to live a good life. Paul says in Philippians 3:14 that, no, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So we should press on, which reminds me of a good song by Reliant K called Pressing On. And some of the lyrics say, there's only one thing left to do, drop all I have and go with you. Somewhere back there, I left my worries all behind. My problems fell out of the back of my mind. To go back to where I was would just be wrong. I'm pressing on. All my distress is going, gone, pressing on. And I felt like it was, these episodes really reminded me of that, is just kind of like he's letting it completely go and he's just moving on. Like, these are the facts. This is what's happening. And I could choose to wallow in it or I could press on.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
I think we had a great discussion today, which brings us to our cast question. Guys, how would you approach the zombie apocalypse? For me, I would be, I think, a hider / gatherer for the first, as long as I can. Like, stockpiling resources, like food and clothing and stuff to get clean water and make makeshift weapons, because this is me in my apocalyptic mode, so obviously I'm making weapons, and for all the gamers out there, obviously we're making weapons, but yeah, that would be me, at least until the resources run out, and then I would leave. So yeah, what about you guys?
Well, in my case, I would probably die very quickly. I am the type who would probably try to put together some semblance of strategy to try to survive, you know, figure out what I need, what I need to do, that kind of thing. But I have way too much tendency to do something stupid. So I figured it would just be a matter of time before I did something stupid and it cost me.
Well, I would be raptured, obviously. No, I'm just kidding.
holier than thou.
Holier than thou.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Get out.
Let's see. I think that I don't know which way would go. I think either A, I would also die with Mike. We would just go die together. This is so morbid. I don't think I could handle being eaten alive. That really freaks me out to my core. Yeah, so I probably, like, unfortunately, would try to find another way to die.
Yeah, I would say the same.
Man. But if I was a survivor and if I was resilient and if God gave me like superpowers and superhuman strength, I would probably, I feel like I could see myself trying to like gather a group together to create like a safe house or like a safe haven.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
The Parisians.
Where we could band together to figure out how to restore the zombies back to their original forms.
The so house Paris of Paris.
Yeah, she's building like a quarantine zone.
And then it becomes like a cult. And
oh no!
Rapture my butt. me, I feel like I'm quick and quiet. In fact, typically my roommates and anybody that I've ever lived with, they always get surprised by me. I'm very quiet and they don't know I'm there. So I feel like I would use my stealth to my advantage. I would probably live in a CVS. yeah. I mean, that's where like migraine pills could be.
That's
chips.
So smart. That's so
bandages.
Smart.
Are you kidding me? I'm living in a CVS.
The only bad thing about that though is that's where everybody's going to come to try to get stuff. And if
not, if I kill them
way,
all. Oh my!
She'll kill them first.
My daddy got guns.
I am
kidding.
And you see, this mindset is why you're not getting raptured along with Paris.
No, I don't know. I all I know is I'd stealth around. I'd try to find a CVS, and that way I wouldn't have to suffer with my migraines.
So
yeah,
would you be more of the lone wolf rather than the group person then?
Probably. People will get you killed. Mm-hmm. They're dumb. They make mistakes. They're too loud. They step on the leaves in the forest.
That's true. Would you take me as a companion?
We would have a stern talk. We would have a stern talk, but I would take you as a companion. But I'd be like, look at me. Now you do what I say. You do not ask questions. When I say get down, you get down. I would be Joel, and you would be my Ellie.
That's hilarious. Oh my
gosh. I feel like Mike would be a perfect companion, just so that you have constant, like, nonstop humor and, like, optimism.
But Mike's going to get us killed.
How would he get us killed?
He just said he was going to be the first to die.
I'd probably end up doing something stupid.
He's the one that steps on the leaves.
Yeah,
oh,
he steps
on the leaves. He's the one that steps on the leaves.
And it crumbles.
No, I'd probably be the... No, it's okay. It's not this zombie's fault they've been turned into this.
Can we really
hold this against them?
Oh my god.
I would shoot you in the leg so fast that I'd die first.
Sacrifice you?
Like, no, like straight up, like everyone in the forest and
he
Mike
says,
steps on
I
the
need
leaves.
Y'all to know I'm being serious.
Like if we're in the forest and Mike is the one who steps on the leaves, or he's the one who's trying to evangelize to these zombies.
Yeah, let's make it more like, okay, Mike would be the one that would say, y'all go ahead, and he'd throw himself into the zombies for us.
Admittedly,
I think he would. I could see myself
doing that.
And I would be the one who says, oh, shucks. And then I would push him towards him. And
just, oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks. Go ahead, Mike. You're the bravest out of all of us.
I'm like yelling to Paris to get in the tree.
Get in the tree.
Get in the tree. Get in the tree, Shinji.
Paris, could you climb up a tree if you need to? Would you be able to climb up a tree, Paris?
Man, that would be stressful.
To climb a tree?
No, the whole thing.
The whole ordeal.
Yeah, I am stressed out. I'm just thinking about this.
Me too.
Which means it's time to close the episode. So that is all the time that we have for episode 21 of the Tango Cast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Erin, where can our awesome listeners follow you?
On all platforms at Ithilerin, Ithilerin.
Perfect. Paris, what about you?
I'm also on platforms as Paris Cosplays.
And brother Mike.
Well, you can find me on YouTube at Mike's Geek World. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and the like at StaleDog with 2 G's, because I'm not gangsta enough to be a G, but maybe I can make it into the minor leagues and get into the double G league.
The double G. The lowercase double G league.
GGs.
And you guys can find me at Kubikaze, KYUUBIKAZE on Instagram and YouTube. But please be sure to subscribe to us wherever you're listening to, and follow Beneath the Tangles on your favorite social media platforms. Until next time, this is the TangleCast signing off.
Pew, pew. Leaf crumble.
Mike steps on leaves.
Gunshot.
Oh, gosh. Gotta keep all that. Dennis gotta keep all that.
We make Dennis's job hard.
No, every episode there's a problem.
That's what I'm here for.
That would be good. That would be good for the end.